Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
The two bigs with double-doubles. Boots with 22 and 12. Package to Drummond again with a two-handed slam. Oh, my goodness. Andre Drummond eating some big-time rim at the UC.
Listen, a lot of people forget this guy was a starter in this league.
Don't get it twisted.
Okay? This guy was a starter in this league, you know, and a two-time All-Star. This is not surprising to me. Like, we've seen him a lot in Detroit. He's put up huge numbers against the Bulls before, 20-plus rebounds. So this is not a surprise. It might be a surprise to a lot of Bulls fans, but it's not a surprise.
Man, you know, just staying prepared. You know, this is new territory for me. So for me, it's just being a professional at the end of the day and setting a good example for these young guys, as you said. The game gives you a lot of highs and lows, man. But at the end of the day, the more work you put in, you stay ready, you stay prepared. You know, nights like this happen. You know, I just always try to stay ready, man. You know, that's why I keep preaching. Try to stay ready, come in, do extra work, and just wait for my number to be called.
Trade him. Like, I'm glad no one else was surprised or willing to admit that they were surprised that Andre Drummond went 9 of 9 from the floor and had a 21-15 game. And at one point in the fourth quarter, Adam Amin, who is one of the best play-by-play guys in the country, was like, I don't even know which dunk this is on the highlight, because he had dunked so many times in a row on consecutive possessions that he didn't know which dunk highlight they were flashing back to.
Oh, God. And, you know, I respect the hell out of Andre Drummond. Look at him busting his ass here on, what, team 5? Team 6 for Andre Drummond in his career? Surprisingly, not as old as you think. Was he only 29? And we were all kind of staggered by that, I believe is the case.
I think that's right.
Moves his feet well. Like,
29.
It can run. You know, it seems to care. All that stuff. It's nice to see. And good for him. But go ahead and trade him. Yes, would be the right thing to do.
If you can get something for Andre Drummond, like if someone wants to be blown away by that game, sure, go right ahead and trade him. I don't know. So like the deadline is Thursday. I think that the full on teardown is unlikely based on the reporting. I'll trust Casey Johnson's reporting of talking to executives around the league.
But it's not just that anymore, is it?
No, it's not. If they do like a tinker something, like a crap for crap, minimal stuff, fine. But if they trade like an actual first round pick or any of the draft assets that they have to
add and bulk up and go for a playoff series,
I will light them up Thursday at 2. Because I don't know what they're chasing. And I thought that I was like in the majority on that opinion. And then I heard something last night during that broadcast that just like kind of flabbergasted me, if I'm just being totally honest. And I love Amin and I love Stacey and I love the broadcast. We have them both on the show. I think they're great. But this is the fourth quarter of that game. And keep in mind, they're playing the San Antonio Spurs. Okay? There is one team in the league that has fewer wins than the Spurs. One. It's the Houston Rockets. The Spurs are openly tanking and going after Wembanyama. They are bad by design.
And now they have hurt guys too.
Correct.
That was not that was not even a roster
that was representative
used to
of them at their best.
Correct.
Right. This is a depleted, bad by design. Pop on me at media day talking about how it was going to be different, how he was going to embrace like coaching and teaching young guys. I mean, this is not a Spurs team with talent that can compete. And in the fourth quarter of that game, when the Bulls are rolling and looking like world beaters, but again, with LaVine and DeRozan and Vooch and like real NBA all-star caliber players on the floor, this was what the hyperbole was at the four-minute mark of the fourth quarter.
Goran Dragic has always come up with very insightful quotes, and this is what he said the other day about the Bulls trio. They're still working toward it. I feel like some games they look amazing, some games they look disconnected, but when I've been around stars, it typically clicks at one point during the year when everybody goes, okay, I can't win on my own. It's got to be all of us. And I don't know if this is the time just yet, but these last couple of games, I just feel like the feel of when and how these three guys are starting to play within the system and with everybody else, I just see some flashes is all, and maybe Goran does too.
Listen, they have a responsibility. They're three all-star players, you know, and so you guys are the leaders. They're the leaders of this team. And if they come out here and play on both ends, not just offensively, because it's not always about the offense that hurts this team.
Yep.
It's defense. And if they lock in defensively, those three guys, who's going to beat this team? This team's going to be a really, really scary thought if they can continue to play the way they've been playing.
Wow. Who's going to beat this team?
I mean,
team's going to be a scary thought if they continue to play this way. So these guys feel like they've turned a corner. Nice comeback win against Portland on Saturday night.
Portland is the 11 seed in the bad Western Conference. They are an under 500 basketball team. The three-game stretch that Amin is referencing?
Yeah.
Portland is by far the best team that they played.
Charlotte was the other one?
Yeah, Charlotte, 15 wins. They're 15 and 40.
Uh-huh. Spurs
are 14 and 40.
Now, there was a lot of talk going into last night. Bulls aren't going to lose this one. They want this one. I heard it from everybody. I heard it from KC on the pregame. I heard it from a lot of people. And Patrick Williams himself was angry about the wait because they got beat bad by San Antonio.
Correct.
Earlier in the year.
Correct.
So they had some vengeance in their hearts.
Yeah, it's a bad loss to a bad team that they are better than.
They've lost to a lot of bad teams, though, Danny.
No, they've played down to opponents. Right, and maybe to their credit, they are locking in and bum-slaying the bums who they should have been bum-slaying all around. I will afford that possibility. They've won three straight games against three bad teams at home. They've won 4 of 5. The fourth win was against the Magic, who, yeah, are young and kind of fun and exciting, but they are worse than the Bulls. They're 22 and 32. They are also not a good team. And then there are other wins. Hawks, because they won 7 of 10. So then you get Hawks, Pistons, Warriors.
Okay.
Warriors is 7
now,
seed.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
We have all been watching this core not figure it out. And watching those three guys not really find a way to play well together in the absence of Lonzo Ball as a point guard who organizes the entire offense. We've been watching them hoping they would possibly figure it out.
Yeah.
Goran Dragic says that. Does it fit something that Adam Amin and Stacey have seen, that some of these other folks have seen? Is it possible that if you're close to it, you are seeing some more cooperation? Now, I say this as a guy who does not believe in Zach LaVine as a winning player, as a decision maker down the stretch, and I don't necessarily believe in DeMar DeRozan as a sharer in the way that you probably need to make this whole thing work. I will say I've seen DeMar take a couple more threes of late than he had been, and that's certainly been something he talked about. But anyway, is it possible that they have seen something and felt something, and regardless of competition, this could feel like a moment?
Sure, they've also beaten Boston and they've beaten Milwaukee.
Oh yeah, we've had that 3-game stretch after Zach was found out after the thing in Minnesota.
Yeah,
where they played in Atlanta and they played in New York and they played real well and they won 2 out of 3 and it was like, oh man, look at this. That's when I thought maybe they found something.
They've had moments and Lawrence said that he heard Chuck Swirsky talking about like that they were turning a corner or something like that. So it was like on both broadcasts and it was against a really bad team and dude, I absolutely think that Dragic quote and they're watching every dribble of every game and they're on the team flight and they're at the shoot around and they're close to it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they don't believe what they're saying. I'm saying I don't believe what they're saying. Do you know what I mean? Like the pieces don't work in a because I also don't like what Stacey said at the end. Of like, who's gonna beat this team, and they'd be scary. We have absolutely no evidence to support that.
Here's the
we have no evidence to support that they would be a scary out if they clawed their way into the back end of the Eastern Conference playoffs. We have no evidence to suggest that.
Here, the latest edition of the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, the poll quote. From Stacey, that is in the tweet. Stacey warns fans, quote, to not give up on these kids, unquote.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe that's more about some of the young players, but all of that does fit with the feeling and the vibe of here we go. Maybe they've found something. Should I ask the cynical question? Shane, that's what you've really carved out as a niche. Would you like to? Tanny, Dr. NBA, perhaps we've not involved you enough. Somebody needs to ask the cynical question. Should I go ahead and do it?
Yeah, please. I don't know.
This would be out of protocol against my better judgment and my colleagues. Well, but yeah, there's a
HIPAA stuff here, I think.
That's fair.
With the Holocaust.
And I'm the good vibes guy. So I don't like to ask the single question. So maybe you guys can help me. Okay?
Just ask a question.
Oh, okay, thanks. Do these opinions and... this vibe, this feeling of positivity coming from within the team's broadcast entities have anything to do with the potential lack of activity here at the deadline as the core is reinvested in and they try to see what they can get down the stretch from this bunch?
Maybe.
That's the cynical question.
I don't think that they are like being given talking points. I don't believe that this is like state propaganda type stuff. I don't believe that.
That's my cynical question.
I think it's possible that there has been some off the record discussion of we actually do believe in this thing and the core of what we have here, and it's not as bad as it's looked.
Okay.
And by the way, I think that there is a reasonable argument to be made that if you came into the year saying, continuity, 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 to say we've got to give it more time than 50 games of mediocre basketball. Yeah. I think that that's reasonable. I disagree because I think it's also the last 40 games of last year and the playoff series and the we didn't really get to see a lot of it, but just before DeMar and Lonzo were here, when Vooch and Zach were there, you know, 2 seasons ago at the deadline, and I know they overlapped with COVID diagnoses and didn't play a ton together, but like, it's not like this is a team that was thrown together this offseason. This is a team that was thrown together 2 offseasons ago and 2 trade deadlines ago. So like, I don't subscribe to that theory.
You don't go with yes as the answer to my cynical question.
I don't think so, but it's, let's put it this way. I don't think they're tearing it down. I don't. I think they clearly should trade Vooch. I think it's insane not to.
Unless they think they can re-sign him and they want to re-sign him.
You can re-sign him if he goes somewhere else. Like, I know it's harder to do that, but like, you could if you really, really wanted to. And I don't. And so the texter's like, yeah, but other people don't watch sports for the doom and gloom that you guys do. Man.
That's interesting, though. So he enjoyed the win last night? Well, felt good about it?
Good.
Who's going to beat this team?
Who is going to beat this team?
Hmm.
I have a lot of evidence to suggest that many, 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 many teams will beat this team if they actually are playing a seven-game playoff series against them. So I just – it is such a – man, the Spurs are awful. Like, the Bulls, why they are in NBA hell is not because they are the worst team in the league.
It's because they have a lot of pretty good players that just don't fit together.
And are veterans and are expensive, and they don't have a lot of young talent. They're not the worst team. When they play bad teams, they should kick the crap out of bad teams, because literally a third of the league is tanking by design.
You know what they need? They need a point guard who is not necessarily like a pick and roll guy, but a point guard who like can really kind of control the offense. And by the way, he's great defensively to mitigate other people's stuff.
I know.
And he also can hit threes. So he stretches the floor, too.
I know.
They need that guy.
But, like, so let's say that Lonzo Ball plays on next year's Bulls team and is 100% healthy. And so that's two big ifs. But let's rule him out for this year and say he's on next year's team.
That would be with Zach and with DeMar.
And maybe with a re-signed Vooch. But they're all – but Vooch is older and DeMar is older.
And you can make a case with that batch – that Vooch doesn't necessarily fit. Like, you'd be better off with a rim-protecting defensive center who is more muscular. Like, if you told me that Andre Drummond was the starter with a Lonzo, DeMar, Zach
but
core.
He's not a great defensive player.
No,
that guy's
not,
had some horrible stretches of fouls, and he's slow. And I don't know, man. Maybe I am a little cynical to it. But I tell you that I still think that there is a very high ceiling in there for Patrick Williams. And I don't...
Oh, me too. No, I'm seeing that. I saw it last night.
But I'm just saying, I'm not negative across the board with it. I still think if you traded Zach LaVine on Thursday, you'd be selling low. And he's a flawed player, but I do not believe... I believe that there will be a time when Zach has more trade value than he'll have on Thursday. So, you know, I'm not negative across the board with this thing. I just think that the idea... that they're in this like position of like turning a corner because they are all of a sudden beating some bad teams. Well, if you do that, and if you play your way into the play-in game, and if you win the play-in games, and then if you get into the playoffs, you just wake up facing Milwaukee or Boston.
Well,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that, that. And so I'm just saying.
But that in itself is not the way that players have to think, obviously. And front office is supposed to be dispassionate. That's who you're appealing to.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know.
And so that's why don't get sucked into. They've won three in a row. They've won 4 of 5. They've won 7 of 10. It just the goal here was supposed to be progress from last year. That's the stated on the record goal by AK.
Yeah.
Winning a playoff series. Is there a path to this Bulls team winning a playoff series?
Hmm.
Does anyone think the answer to that question is yes?
Texters are saying that you two are very cynical about this team, and I've grown cynical about this core without Lonzo. No, he's right. You know, I've grown cynical about the core without Lonzo, and I'll tell you principally why. Sadly, it's Zach. I don't think he's a winning guy, a winning player, and I question a lot of the decisions. And I'll tell you what would thrill me the most by the deadline on Thursday, and it's just the truth. I want the Lakers to get desperate after missing out on Kyrie, because boy did they miss out. They thought LeBron thought he was going to get him, and Joe Tsai like refused to give Kyrie what he wanted and send him to LA, which is kind of talk about spite.
Yeah,
talk about a delicious sports spite right there. But anyway, so the Lakers have missed out. Go ahead, Lakers, make a hell of an offer for Zach. Get desperate, give LeBron a running mate, and take this max non-winning player. Take this max contract who's not really a max player, not a two-way guy, and not truly somebody who can be either your first or, in my opinion, your second best piece on a championship team. Go ahead and get him off our hands. I would like to see that happen before Thursday at the deadline. I know it's a slim chance.
I think a lot of people are with you, and it's obviously still in play. Let's listen to Billy Donovan talk about AK, because it's just an interesting listen ahead of the deadline. But I know a lot of people are with you on that one, Speak.
I think all that stuff would be taken into consideration, but I don't think that he would isolate 8 or 10 games and not look at – like, I think Arturs, quite honestly, is – he's looking at it from the All-Star break last year, where, you know, I think we were, you know, I don't know, maybe tied for first or second going into the break, and then looking at the break, you know, from there. Because I think what you have to do is when Caruso went out and Patrick didn't play, you know, our team coming out of the break, we just never got Lonzo back. You know, there was optimism and hope we could get him back this year. Alex obviously missed a lot of time. And then Patrick started to come back after being out for 5 months. I think he'll look and evaluate our team from after the All-Star break all the way through this.
Yeah, and that's just not...
That's the full scope of it.
That's just not a good data point to evaluate the team from. You know, it just... It isn't. So I still think the very sensible thing is to trade Vooch at a minimum because he is an expiring contract and you're risking losing an asset for nothing. And if you want to rearrange some deck chairs to try to find a minimal contributing piece that you think fits a little bit better and trade one of your minimal contributing factors to another team, like, you know, I think Kobe White's been nice recently, but like trade Kobe White for a rim protecting big or a more distributing point guard. But I thought Kobe had some really nice moments doing that last night, especially, like, you know, it's like something like that, like a minimal thing for a minimal thing. Fine. But I don't see trading draft picks to add to this team to chase the play-in series. I don't see it.
About an hour and a half ago, Casey Johnson with a new piece over at NBC Sports Chicago on why the core is expected to stay together.
Yeah.
And he talks about the micro and talks about how they have been playing a little bit better lately, which we're alluding to. And then he says this, on the big picture, the macro view, the Bulls' first-round pick is headed to Orlando as part of the Vucevic acquisition, provided it lands outside the top four picks. Trading one of the core pieces wouldn't worsen the Bulls enough to drastically improve their draft lottery odds. They'd likely need similar luck to when they drafted Derrick Rose to land in the top four. Plus, a source said no substantive serious offers have been fielded for any of the core pieces.
If the trades aren't there, the trades aren't there.
If the trades aren't there, but the first part of that paragraph is like a willing acceptance of the middle.
Yeah.
Which frankly was... I mean, kind of the goal when they made the Vooch trade.
Right, they were hoping to be upper middle, and right now they're lower middle.
But they were acknowledging that the middle was an acceptable place to go
because it was progress.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just, I guess there's some satisfaction in beating really bad teams who are actively tanking and trying to lose. That's a weird place for me. They got all these players out there that are in their primes of their careers. I'm supposed to get excited about the direction of the team because they beat a 14-win Spurs team? Get out of here.
Also this, in case you hadn't heard it or others hadn't heard it from KC. Also, the Bulls remain confident in their ability to re-sign Vucevic, who's having a strong season in his contract year. Trading away Wendell Carter Jr. and two first-round picks to lose Vucevic for nothing would be harmful, and management appears intent on not letting that happen.
Okay.
So, might run it back next year.
Yeah.
Who's going to beat this team?
Okay. There are a lot of qualifiers that have to come in. You are threading a very, I mean, man. Think of all the things that have to go well.
They're breaking NBA, Danny.
So if you're doing that, just quickly, I know we're late. You're banking on DeMar being good, 34. You're banking on Vooch's defense not mattering. You're banking on Lonzo being healthy, Zach figuring it out, and Patrick Williams taking a leap when he still is blocked for the ball by all of those other guys. It's you're asking a lot.
All right,
a lot has to go very, very well.
Coming off this 3-game win streak now, at Memphis tonight, at the Nets on Thursday, and then at the Cavaliers on Saturday. It's 3 legit road games.
Yeah.
How many are they winning?
Color me skeptical. One, maybe? You know, 0.5 is the over under.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not. I don't think this thing is fixed. I would love to be proven wrong because I love high level good basketball. There's a Brady Michael Jordan story that was told that might in some ways actually be a lesson for Billy Donovan. We'll play it for you next on The Score.
Age is just a number. Time is a state of mind.
Tom Brady is out of the game and into the history books.
I was away from the game for almost 2 years. He didn't make 2 months. But you know what that tells me? How much he wants it. How much he needs it. You might worship him. You might hate him. I just hope you appreciate him. Because greatness like this doesn't come along that often.
That is Michael Jordan talking about a subject that he knows a little bit. Greatness. Yeah. He's the standard, man. What LeBron has chased in terms of the public perception. I love the story that Julian Edelman tells about Tom Brady. They're working out. He's got 3 rings. He's like, we got to get you past to Montana, you know, 4 and then 5. We got to get you there. He's like, I'm not chasing Montana. I'm chasing Jordan. Like, he's just this mythical figure. And Brady is...
Jordan, a mythical figure?
Yeah, I know. Hard to imagine, right?
Yeah, what's fun is that he's actually a person.
Nah.
But no?
Nah, mythical figure.
He crossed over.
100% he crossed over.
Yeah.
He did. He became the. No one wears TB12 clothing. No one reveres the LeBron's logo. Jordan's a logo. He's an icon.
Yeah. He's a mythical creature.
He is. He is.
Figure.
At the NBA, it's 75.
not a creature.
It's more of a figure than a creature. So Brady is not being anonymous in retirement. Like, he's like posing in his underwear on Twitter and selling clothes, and just he's out there.
Brady did a podcast last night, his podcast with Jim Gray.
Yeah.
And their guests were Bill Belichick, who then was interrupted by Rob Gronkowski, and he handed the baton to Gronkowski, who then handed the baton to Peyton Manning.
It's a good guest
list.
That
was the guest list.
Tough to say no to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's the point that Wani made, that if he really wants to be good as an analyst, he can pick up the phone and call any coach, and they'll be like, oh, my God, I get to talk to Tom Brady.
I think that's just good producing myself. Shane, right? I mean, like, that's impressive stuff from whoever Brady's producer is.
Famously.
I mean, the more famous your friends are, the better quality the product will probably be.
The better the production,
When you can get Gronk, when you can just make that call, I'm not friends with Gronk. I'm sorry.
Yeah. One day, you should be, though. I feel like you two would actually get along. You guys would do fine. So,
I'll credit my guy Brendan McCaffrey on that one over at Sirius. They are involved with a lot of this pre-production for the Tom Brady. He told me.
Are they really?
He's like, I got to do Tom Brady's podcast today. I got to produce it. I was like, oh, really? How was it? Oh, it was the Larry Fitzgerald half of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Not a knock.
You show up.
Yeah, I still can technically say it.
Sounds like a knock. It feels like a knock. I showed up for the Brady podcast, and all I got was Larry Fitzgerald.
So here's Bill Belichick talking about coaching Tom Brady, and maybe we could think about Billy Donovan and what he does or not do with guys like, you know, not Tom Brady, DeMar DeRozan.
Right, because it's a stuff of legend that Tom Brady was coached hard by Bill Belichick, and that mattered to the Patriots' success. So that's the subtext of this, yes.
From Let's
Go. We had a really good relationship, especially in the film room and talking football and all that, that I'll always treasure. And I learned so much from, because nobody sees the game better than Tom Brady sees it or saw it. And yeah, go ahead and rip my ass, too. Go ahead. And so I got the green light on that. So I went ahead and took it. They've always come back to me and say, hey, the first meeting, Belichick got on Brady. I'm like, Christ, if he's going to talk to Brady like that, like, I better be.
Point out something. You pointed out something to him. And if you had to call him out, you called him out. Can you just kind of take us through your inner thinking on that and the wherewithal that takes to not allow somebody to get bigger than the organization, because you're trying to win a game and it takes everybody.
Yeah, you know, really, Jim, that was as much a part of Tom as it was me, you know, because there were a couple meetings, you know, where I would say something to Tom after the meeting, like, hey, you know, I didn't really, you know, think that was that bad, but I just wanted to include you and everybody in there with everybody else. And Tom would say, Coach, you have to, if you don't yell at me, then what am I going to do with all the rest of my teammates? I got to be in there with all the rest of them and say, hey, he's yelling at all of us, and like, we all got to do better. But if you leave me out of it, then I don't really have a platform to work from. So yeah, go ahead and rip my ass too. Go ahead. And so I got the green light on that. So I went ahead and took it. But, and I think that players always, they've always come back to me and say, hey, the first meeting, Belichick got on Brady. I'm like, Christ, if he's going to talk to Brady like that, like, I better be straight. I know what's going to happen to me. And Tom's, you know, acceptance of that, and also then his ability to lead his teammates by putting himself in the same boat with everybody else of like, yeah, we all got to do a better job. You know, he's after me just like he's after everybody else. Let's go. That's a tremendous platform to lead from. And Tom recognized that. And yeah, you know, was he our best player? Did he make the fewest mistakes out there and all that? Yeah, but everybody can do better. Every coach, every player, no matter how great they are. And, you know, if you're really looking and striving for perfection, then we all want that. I want to be a better coach. Tom wants to be a better player, you know, and so does everybody else. You know, Law wants to be a better corner, and Logan Mankins wants to be a better guard and all that. And Rob Gronkowski wants to be a better tight end. And if you can tell him something to help him be better, a real competitor will appreciate that. And actually where I got that from was Coach Knight. And because Coach Knight told me that's what he did with Michael Jordan on the Olympic team. He said, you know, Michael, I'm going to rip your ass just like, cause I can't rip some of these other guys without ripping you. And Jordan said, hey, bring it on. Cause I need that. And that'll help me with my teammates. And it was kind of a similar thing, you know, with Tom. He told me he appreciated it. I don't know if he's really sure or not. Appreciated it.
He said he appreciated it. Obviously, Belichick on a weird Zoom and breaking up and whatever, but I had never heard the connection to Jordan, that he got that from Coach Knight about the Olympic team.
Yeah, I don't think I had either. The stuff of him coaching Brady hard is definitely famous and a very well-told anecdote within within Patriots lore, but Belichick getting something from anyone that wasn't Bill Parcells, I don't know that I knew that at any point. It feels obvious. Right? Got to coach the star hard. The stars want to be great.
The star can handle it if the star really wants to be great.
If the star really... So I know you made the connection to Billy Donovan and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
But DeMar DeRozan wants to be great. He works really hard. He's got that Kobe workout
thing. Yes, he does.
I think that there is just maybe... I don't know if it's Billy Donovan.
It's an organizational mandate. Cody Westerlund was speaking to this the other day with Bernsie and Holmes.
Yeah, about being star friendly.
About being star friendly, that it comes from the top. Hey, we need, because remember that what they were digging themselves out of.
Yeah.
And in the NBA, it's difficult because, look, there's load management, there's trusting the players, there's empowerment of the stars and trusting them to go hard when it matters. But in the meantime, you might be headed for the play-in because you're not coaching guys hard. Remember when they benched Zach and we're sitting here saying, like, at least I was like, why doesn't this happen more often? You know, that you go after somebody and you do this, you know, Zach kind of went in the tank. He went in the tank after that.
Fully guaranteed contracts for 5, 10, 20x of what the coach makes puts the power imbalance in a different spot.
Yeah.
Easier to fire coaches than get rid of players on $200 million contracts.
And I find myself thinking about other quarterbacks, thinking about Rodgers, or thinking about other quarterbacks who have been, you know, more closer on the diva scale and don't want to be coached hard necessarily.
Yeah.
Hell, Sean Payton yesterday. Laying down the law about what he's going to be doing with Russell Wilson, right?
Well, it's easier to say too than to really do it. You got to have thick skin to take negative feedback and criticism. We say we want it, and then if you get it, not having it feel personal and go into the tank is easier said than done.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the connection that I hadn't made that Brady made, and I guess Jordan made, and Belichick said so well, is that it gave Brady the platform to lead from. So Brady could say, guys, he's on us. Come on, we're all in this together. And we got to do this better. We got to win this game because this, or we got to execute this. And so he can lead, which Brady wanted to lead and recognized he was the leader, as Michael did.
Yes.
You know? So, like, that connection is awesomely self-aware for a GOAT like Brady or Jordan to understand.
All right, coming up next, tell me if I'm being conspiratorial here. If this is like a tinfoil hat theory of what I think we could be setting ourselves up for a massive NFL story in the coming months. Next on The Score.
I think he's got more personality than anybody gives him credit for. You know how much of a grinder he is. There won't be anybody doing the games that's more prepared for him. He is as current can be. If he doesn't know it, he's going to make a phone call, and who's not going to pick up the phone for Tom Brady? You know what I mean? So he's going to have – no, I just think the guy will be very good. I'll be curious to see, you know, if Jimmy retires and steps away out there.
What a clean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? All is one word from,
where's
Dave Wanstead.
Where's Wani? Where's Wani?
Thursday.
So psyched.
Can't wait.
Best part of the week.
And don't forget, Friday, 3 o'clock, one of our favorite segments of the year. Massive Super Bowl preview segment. You never know who's going to pop in, except we know that the leadoff hitter will be whoever invited Rick Camp to the Super Bowl.
Eddie Gutierrez.
Yeah!
Talked to my guy yet?
Yeah.
No, he hasn't responded yet.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. The leadoff hitter. Yeah.
He didn't move.
Maybe Tanny needs to walk over.
Well, it would be Mexico. Long walk.
Yeah, he moved to Mexico.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Would be a long walk.
Yeah, the middle of Tuesday, I was just talking to Tanny about it. It's kind of when the stress starts to settle in. Like who you've already got confirmed and who you haven't heard from.
That explains a lot.
Well, no. Okay. Yesterday, that was not part of yesterday.
Okay, my bad.
Thanks.
All right, I'll get back to my conspiracy
air stuff.
I'm the worst.
He's fine. Everything's fine.
I'm terrible.
So Tom Brady. So tell me if tinfoil.
You keep your oil in the tin. Where's it coming from?
Here's Tom Brady with Colin Cowherd. Shout out, everybody.
Is there a thought in your head that, man, I gave a lot? I need to exhale. I got to give this thing some space here. Is that like time? I'm talking 15 months. I'm talking 18 months.
Yeah. I think for me, absolutely. And even, you know, decompression's important. You know, you're on this kind of really crazy treadmill / hamster wheel for a long time, loving the moment, loving the journey. At the same time, you know, it's a daily fight. You know, you wake up every day just like you do. And I have appreciation for so many people that are so committed every day to showing up to put their max effort into their life and their career. And I think for me, I want to be great at what I do. And even, you know, talking even last week with the people at Fox Sports, you know, and the leadership there allowing me to start, you know, my Fox opportunity in the fall of 2024 is something that's great for me. So take some time to really learn, become great at what I want to do, become great at, you know, thinking about the opportunity and making sure I don't rush into anything. And I think when people really bet on me, I think one thing about my career, whether it was when I was drafted by the Patriots or signing for agency with the Bucks, I wanted to be, you know, fully committed. And I never wanted to let people down. I think my biggest motivator was that. So, you know, even in the future, I want to be great at what I do. And that always takes some time and strategizing and learning and growing and evolving. And I have so many people to rely on that can support me in that growth too. So it's going to be a great opportunity for me to take some time to really certainly become at my Fox broadcasting job, which I'm really looking forward to, but also catching up on other parts of my life that need some time and energy.
So the news in there is that it's the fall of 2024.
He is not replacing Greg Olson as the number one broadcaster for Fox next year. He still plans to do it, but he said figure out, you know, what he wants to do. He said he's excited for the job, but he wants to be fully committed to it. Doesn't want to let people down. Feels like the door is cracked open there for Shane's theory that he never even joins the booth.
Yeah.
But combine that with what he said on his Let's Go podcast about what he thinks he could still do as a football player.
Tom, it seems to me that physically you can still play. That it's emotional and it's your body can do it, but your heart and your mind have had enough. Would that be accurate?
No, that's not accurate. I think there's a part of me that there's always going to be a part that wants to play and a part of me that, you know, feels like I can play. I think there's just a decision to know that it's the right time. So I think for me, it's more of just it's going to end at some point, and I think now's the time. And it's not that I can't do it. It's not that I wouldn't want to do it. It's not that I wouldn't be excited to play. I love playing football. I've loved playing football since I was, you know, a kid on the street on Portola Drive. So I think it's just a decision that it's time to do other things. I love playing sports my whole life, and I'm sure I'll love them until the day I die.
So I'm sure at some point you're going to waver mentally. You're going to have the discipline to keep this, or are you going to be like Muhammad Ali?
I'm not, you know, I know how I feel today, and I'm very happy, and you know, what the future holds, who knows, but I don't ever envision it, and, you know, but again, I don't even want to leave the door open for people to say, oh, Tom Brady, blah, blah, blah. No, it's like, I'm very content with where I'm at.
Oh, you did leave the door open, Tom.
So he's taking a year, just to be clear, the 45-year-old.
Yeah.
Who thinks he can still play
and
loves to play and absolutely says he would still be excited to play, just got permission from his bosses for his $375 million contract.
That awaits, yeah.
To delay it a year, and we'll see what happens.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to lead anybody to speculate that maybe, like, dude, he's just...
That last...
We are going to hear from Tom Brady in July or August, when training camps are heating up and some teams have rookie quarterbacks that aren't ready to play or didn't get Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers. He's a free agent.
I told the story the other day. He did it to Tony Gonzalez. He did it. He went to Tony Gonzalez and said, you know, you can play till you're 45. We've done some research on that. Would you like to play after Tony had retired? And the answer was no, but
he will get mocked mercilessly for, like, you only get one emotional retirement, so I'm done for good. And then the next day saying something like that, like, if he actually comes back. I still will put it at overwhelmingly likely that he doesn't play again. But he
had a chance
very clearly.
My God.
What if happened? What if it was November, right? Happens to the 49ers. Same thing that happened to them this year.
Damn right.
They're rolling, and all of a sudden, whoever their QB is gets hurt, and there he is. Just all of a sudden, he's working out again,
trying to
ramp it up to get ready to play by the bye week or whatever.
It's a great
for
specific
his hometown team.
It's a great specific call on a ready-made roster that Trey Lance and Brock Purdy are just not making it work.
Do the Roger Clemens thing.
Examples like that, like rosters that are good to go, just one quarterback away, simple systems that he could come in and doesn't even have to play the whole grind of the 18-game season. You know?
Yeah, he's just very. But the delaying the Fox thing a year, because it's not like he's going to take a year off and then at 47 decide to come back. It is like he doesn't have much time left, but I'm not starting my next job right away. I'm content with where I am now, but you never know. He is keeping it open to play football this year.
Jim Gray gave him a chance to shut it down. The last 20 seconds of that thing, after Jim Gray says, are you going to have the discipline to do it? And basically, the only thing he said in there is like, I don't envision that. But...
yeah.
And then he quickly even qualified that.
Happy where I'm at now.
Happy where I'm at now, right? I mean, like, in there, at first he said, well, you know, I kind of want to, but I don't envision that. But, so quickly,
wide open.
He broke the door. He opened the door so hard.
Yeah, man.
It flew off the hinges. It's lying in a heap next to a wide open doorway.
Like, imagine you're doing dry January and someone approaches you with a drink and you're like, well, you know, I'm doing dry January because I committed to not drinking, but, you know, I really do like alcohol and there are some benefits to having a little bit of buzz. But I did want to take a break for a little while. But also, I've enjoyed other times that I've had alcohol before, so I could probably enjoy one now.
I don't envision that.
My whole life.
I'm going to love alcohol till the day I die. Actually, that's true. Like, reformed drinkers will admit that they say, yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I would do it right now and tomorrow and every day. I just cannot. So maybe he's addicted to football, you know?
Maybe. But I'm glad you all heard that exactly in the same way that I did.
Especially the opportunity for the shutdown at the end. Like, no, I'm good, Jim. Thanks. It's like, would you like to shut the door right here? No, I would not.
No, we'll see how I feel. Yeah. I feel this way now. Wow. Yeah.
So from the broadcast perspective, and I know we got a break, so good. Olsen deserves another year, and he'll get it. If Jimmy Johnson does retire, which has been hinted at, that's what's going to happen.
We're going to see more of Tom Brady on television with Fox. Apparently, Marchand reported that he did the Cowherd interview before he did it yesterday because today was Burkhardt and Olsen meeting the media. Uh-huh. So they wanted a Fox entity to break the news that Brady was taking a year off. And then that takes some of the pressure off of Olsen and Burkhardt before they get ready to call this Super Bowl.
Everybody,
these networks think of things, man.
My God.
Yeah.
The strategizing that goes on.
They think of things. So that's one end of the weird quarterback audio spectrum. This is the extreme other end. It's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.